Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
I know that some people listen to us on the Odyssey app and they live all over the country, but if you are a New Yorker living on Long Island or Westchester or New Jersey, last night was freaking insane.
Scary, probably.
Dude, my house was rocking. The rain was pelting. Then I see a tornado hit Long Island. Yeah, I thought it was AI. I'm watching these videos of tornadoes like in Atlantic Beach in the Rockaways.
My issue with it is that people are standing on their balconies taking videos of these tornadoes. What the happens if that thing turns and comes right at you? If you were on the Van Wyck, it was like Niagara Falls out there.
I've never seen anything like it, and I think we live in such skeptical times that when you first see a video like this and you see a tornado in the Rockaways, you're like, is that even real?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that AI? Two thoughts about the people that are taking these videos. Number one, thank you, because I'm glad I can see it. I'm glad Tiki can see it. But number two, if that was me and I saw a tornado outside my window, I would freaking run for dear life.
Now, but the problem is, where?
I don't know. Like, all the experts say, go to your basement. What the hell does go to your basement
do?
But
do they? Because it's sea level, right? So are there subterranean basements on the island?
Yeah, no, you can have a basement.
Like below ground.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's fine.
I grew up on Long Island. I had a basement that was underneath, under the ground, but like, what does that do?
You want a basement and a bathtub.
Yeah, but what does that do?
You don't protect it because it's ceramic,
okay,
right?
But it could still fall on you.
Well, yeah,
like
but
the roof, if it falls, it's still falling on you if you're in a bathtub in the basement.
But it's better to get fallen on than fall down.
You're basically pick your death, is what you're saying.
You have a better chance of surviving.
I guess. All I know is either thing would just scare the bejesus out of me. Mm. And seeing those videos out on Long Island, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that experienced it last night, that is freaky. Like what Tiki and I experienced, me in Westchester, you in New Jersey, was just an insane amount of rain.
Yeah, and a thunderstorm.
Right.
It was loud. And tons of rain, but it didn't feel dangerous.
No, I mean, like, thunder is such a weird thing because it's so loud, it shakes your house, but at the end of the day, thunder poses no danger.
Yeah, it's really the lightning. You don't see the lightning, you just hear the lightning. That's what thunder is.
Did you lose power last night?
We did not lose power.
Me neither.
Even though we lost power a week before because a tree fell over.
Oh, well, you know.
Whatever. Luckily, we did not lose power in this thunderstorm, but I felt like we were going to lose
power. I'm watching the Yankee game. I'm like, I'm going to lose it at some point. But luckily, I didn't, and the Yankees did beat the Baltimore Orioles last night. It's funny. We talked yesterday about the Yankees being so short-changed in their bullpen because of the usage of the last few days, and that they would need, Gerrit Cole to go deep into the game, or dare I say, score a lot of runs. And they kind of got a combination of both. Gerrit Cole was brilliant. He pounded the strike zone like maybe we've never seen before. The offense, at least for them, and I guess we're trying to figure out a good way to describe the Yankee offense last night.
That's elite for the Yankee offense right now.
Yeah.
That's elite. Right?
Yeah, for them, for an offense we're so used to scoring 2-3 runs a game, this was something different. So I don't know what you would call it. I don't know. Maybe we'll ask Michael Kay. What would you call that offense last night?
The Yankees, 3 runs in an inning. It's an offensive orgy. And this guy really needed it. Ramos goes the other way. His first RBI is a Yank.
Now, Michael is taking a lot of heat for this.
Of course he should. It's a kid's show, man. What are you doing?
Yes, he said offensive orgy.
F that.
I mean, I get it, but yes.
Mommy, what's an orgy? Daddy. Have you done an orgy?
So you're saying it was inappropriate for Michael to say that? Is that what you're saying?
F that.
You got a problem with that?
I'm going to be an ass.
I don't, but I'm sure some kids' parents do.
It's funny. We all heard it. Like anyone watching the Yankee game last night, you heard him say it, and it probably was that moment of, what did you say? Like, do I have to rewind to figure this out?
I mean, technically, it's not inappropriate to say, but just because of what we associate it with.
What do you mean it's technically not inappropriate? What is the definition of orgy?
Let's look it up.
Well, you tell me.
That's a pompous ass.
Well, okay, I guess it is inappropriate.
Oh, well, so what's the definition of it?
So, well, first of all, it was a band. And it was formed in the late 90s. So that's one thing. It is a sex party where guests freely engage in open and unrestrained sexual
activity.
So then activity.
How could you say that he used it in any kind of appropriate way?
Because I just feel like it also could mean other things. I'm going to have to...
Scoring a lot of runs against
I'm going to have to look up Merriam-Webster.
Well, it was like having sex.
I can't... Okay, there are 3 definitions in Merriam-Webster.
Okay, go ahead. Right.
Secret ceremonial rites held in honor of an ancient Greek or Roman deity and usually characterized by ecstatic singing and dancing. That's benign. Number 2.
Yeah, but it also has nothing to do with scoring a lot of runs against the Orioles.
Drunken revelry, a sexual encounter involving many people.
Yeah.
Definition 3, excessive indulgence in something, especially to satisfy an inordinate appetite or craving.
Well, that's it.
That's the one he used.
So technically, that's not an inappropriate word, is what you're saying.
That's exactly right.
F that.
Good for him, then. All right. So then,
we saved you, Michael Kay.
Michael, we saved your job. You're exactly. All good.
Right. Definition 3, according to Merriam-Webster, you were good to go.
You know what's funny? When he said that, and I rewinded and I listened to it, it sounded very familiar to me. And I know why. I spent many years working next to Joe Beningo, the great Joe B.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083. Or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
I've heard him say that before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've heard Joe B say, it was like an offensive orgy, bro. So I feel like...
I like Joe Beningo.
I'm sure you do.
Especially now.
I'm sure you do.
Joe led me down this path.
But I feel like he has said it before. Like, the Jets, who never score points, as we've talked about, mm-hmm. they go out and score a random 35. I think I can imagine Joe on a Monday saying, that was an offensive orgy, bro. So I think, if anything, Michael took it from Joe.
I like Joe Beningo.
Now, as far as the Yankees are concerned, it was about... 3 weeks ago, I said to Sean, I hate to pull the reverse Sal Licata here, but the AL East is over. And I didn't say it because I thought the Yankees sucked or the Yankees can't go win a World Series or the Yankees are terrible. I said it because they've been a 500 team without Aaron Judge. There was no evidence that Aaron Judge was walking through that door. The Rays have played well, and then the math. The math had shown me, especially at that point, they got to make up 6 games. The Rays only need to win 1 head-to-head game against the Yankees to take the tiebreaker, which makes the math difficult. And so I done the Yankees from winning the American League East. Again, didn't mean they can't go on a postseason run or make the playoffs. Just the math and everything around winning the American League East, to me, felt daunting.
Yes. I agree with you, by the way.
You agree with me.
When you were out, I think Sean and I talked about and said the exact same thing, that the Rays just don't lose. I think at that point they had won 8 in a row, maybe 9 in a row, and the Yankees were just middling.
Right.
They're 500. They were okay, but the Red Sox were starting to catch them a little bit. They were just losing ground. It got to, I think, 8 games back from the Rays, and just like, this thing is over. Like, they can't worry about trying to win the division right now. It's just, get yourself healthy, hang on, tread water until Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and Cody Bellinger, who looks like he's coming back on a rehab assignment this week.
Played last night, got a hit.
Right, until they get healthy,
yeah.
Just tread water. Right?
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
So you and I
both don't think about the race.
You and I both dunned them.
Yes, again, I dunned them. I definitely did.
We didn't dun their season. We just dunned the chances of winning the American League. So I ask you, and I ask myself this question. On August 21st, 2026, the New York Yankees have now won 4 in a row, the Rays have struggled, mm-hmm. and the Yankees have cut the deficit in the American League East to 4 games. Situation's the same when it comes to the tiebreaker. They have a 4-game series later this year. If Tampa Bay wins any one of those 4 games, they would secure the tiebreaker, which would technically make the Yankees 5 games back.
Yep.
Because they would have to surpass the Tampa Bay Rays. Are you Tiki Barber ready? Based on the Yankees' recent success, maybe even the injury updates, are you ready to undone the Yankees winning the American League East?
Yeah, I might have to pull a John Kerry and Mitt Romney here, be a flip-flopper a little bit.
By the way, I love how you picked a Republican and a Democrat. Very bipartisan of you.
Of course, you know me.
Yeah.
You know me well.
Yeah.
They're not done. You know why they're not done? Because they have 4 games against the... As long as they're within 4. If they're inside of 4...
Right.
They're not done. So I can't keep dunning them because when I dunned them, they were at 8 back. Now they're 4 back and they play 4 games against them. So even though they might have to weather the emotion of losing a tiebreaker, but it's the same thing as last year with the Blue Jays.
Yeah. That's how they lost the division last year. Yeah.
They're not done yet.
The reason I do not waver is that the Yankees have shown us through a sample size of about 67 games mm-hmm. that they are a slightly above 500 team without Aaron Judge. That's an enormous sample size. They have now played, at this moment, 67 games without Aaron Judge.
And what are they?
35-32.
Of course.
Which until recently was right at 500. They were actually a game under 500. The 4-game winning streak has brought them 3 games above 500.
Yeah.
I don't really have much reason to believe, even with the return of Cody Bellinger potentially this weekend, that that's going to change that much coming up on this 10-game homestand against Toronto, Houston, and Boston, and even on their West Coast trip right after that. Like, I think that's who they are. And so do I think if they continue to play that kind of baseball, which is the sample size of 67 games, not the more recent 4-game winning streak, do I think that's enough to make up even just a tiny 4 games on Tampa Bay? My answer still remains no. So I give them credit, and they are in it. Like, they're in it. I'm not denying that they're in it. But if you ask me, my reasoning from a few weeks ago remains the same.
Yeah, but I feel like they have, because of, I mean, if Elliot Ramos starts to hit, which he finally did.
And that was enormous for him yesterday. Same with Luis Garcia going deep. Like, those guys need to get going.
Right, and Garcia hits, but he hadn't been powerful. He hadn't been an extra base hitter yet until we saw him last night. So I feel like if that continues, hopefully, after this is post-trade deadline stuff, and you start to get your lineup healthy, and your pitching keeps staying as dominant as it has been, how can you not feel confident that they can get themselves back into this race with the Tampa Bay Rays? I don't see why you would be negative about them at this moment and still believing that as a 500 team, they can't. Because the Rays eventually have to come back to being
Rays. They've struggled. I mean, baseball's a long-ass season, and right now the Yankees are hot and the Rays aren't. I mean, that's going on right now. Do I think that's going to continue? Tampa Bay's going to Baltimore. The Rays struggled against the Orioles last week. We know what the Yankees just did to the Orioles. I kind of expect the Rays to come out and smack the Orioles around. I kind of think they're going to bounce back. I think the Rays have shown you all year long that despite my skepticism and despite a lot of people's skepticism, they're a pretty good team. I think it comes down to this. When the Yankees see the Tampa Bay Rays, it's at the very end of the season, that 4-game series to begin the final homestand of the year for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, which is not that long from now.
Right, but it's the end of the season.
Yeah, September 22nd, to be exact.
Where Are the Yankees in the standings on September 22nd? Well, and I think that's going to be the ultimate question going into that seven-game homestand and that four-game series that the Yankees have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to play series evaluation, but they should win the Toronto series. They should win the Houston series. They should win the Boston series.
Well, they got 10 games at home. What are you thinking? Right. 7-3?
I think 7-3.
That'd be great.
7-3 sounds about right. And then they should sweep at least the first series out west.
That's asking a lot. I know the Angels suck, but sweeping series terrible. On the road is not easy, even though they just did it.
Terrible.
I understand.
They are terrible.
I think you're taking it for granted.
I'm not. I'm just being overly optimistic because I'm not dunning them any longer. Like, if I was still in my dunning them mode,
right,
I would think, you'll just be 500. They'd be 5-5 in this homestand. They'll go out, they'll sweep the Angels, and then they'll get swept by the Padres. That's what my mindset would be.
Right, right.
But it's changing because of, first of all, how unbelievable they've been pitching. We talked and put pressure, even though he wasn't listening to us, but we put pressure on Gerrit Cole to go have a day. He went and had a day.
He pounded the zone, man.
And Ryan Yarbrough was 9 up, 9 down.
He was.
So, I mean, like, this pitching staff and their bullpen have been exceptional.
Yeah, but that's been going on this entire run. It's the offense that's been better, which has helped them win these four straight games.
That's right. And so I'm choosing Cody Bellinger will be back sooner rather than later, that Elliot Ramos has finally figured out how to be a Yankee. Luis Garcia just continues to be a consistent hitter and now maybe add some power into the mix. And, you know, the George Lombard and everything else, the emotional lift that it's given you defensively, they feel like a better team than they were 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, when you're winning, it feels that way.
That's right.
Just like the Rays feel like a worse team.
That's right.
Because they've been playing lousy baseball. Where the Yankees do have a big edge on Tampa is that their schedule in general is just a tad bit easier than the Rays' schedule.
Right. Talk about L.A., Colorado.
Yeah, they play the Rockies, the Angels, the Twins, who they always beat. I don't know what to say about my baseball team, the Mets. Both the Rays and the Yankees have games with them.
The Mets are playing good baseball.
Right, so do you consider them a good team when you factor in
700 over the last 10?
No, I get you.
Like, they're good.
I get you. I guess it matters when you see them. The Rays are going to see them next week. The Yankees are going to see them the week after that. But they still have to make up, in my opinion, 5 games. They're 4 games back.
Of course.
I think it's unrealistic to think they're going to sweep them in a 4-game series at home. So the math tells me this, with how many games left? They've played 127 games, right. So they've got 35 games left. Is that the correct math, 35 games? Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah. 127, 35,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, three. Okay. Yeah. They got to make up 5-35. Now, is that impossible? No, I'm not saying it's impossible. I just wouldn't bet on it. I don't think it's likely. I think it's
I got 141 2/3 chance of winning. Take your 33 1/3 chance minus my 25% chance, and you got an 8 1/3 chance of winning.
Isn't that 7 1/3?
Don't question Steiner math. It makes perfect sense. They have to make up, I'll make this simple math, 5 games. In 35 games.
Yeah.
Is it impossible? Of course not.
Right.
I just don't think they're going to do it.
And it's harder because they're only playing 4 against them.
Right. And the reason I think it's going to be tough to do is I choose to believe in baseball, the greater sample size. It's why even with the Mets, I don't go overboard and say, oh, they're a good team. They're playing well. Finally, the Yankees are playing well. The sample size, and I get it doesn't include Lombard, it doesn't include Garcia and Elliot Ramos, completely fair points to question the 67-game sample size without Aaron Judge. I get it. But for the most part, that's what they've been, a slightly above 500 team, and I kind of expect that to continue over the next couple of weeks until Aaron Judge walks through that door, and we still don't know when that's going to happen. But here's what I do know. Gerrit Cole continues to write a great script, and I'm not trying to start a fight with you because it ain't personal.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gerrit Cole's been a better Yankee than CC Sabathia. And the only reason I compare them is because they're big free agent signings, right? They're big money ticket items. But the reason CC is more beloved than Gerrit Cole,
because CC won,
is that ring on his finger.
That's right.
Gerrit Cole.
And CC's a different kind of leader than Gerrit Cole. Not saying Gerrit Cole's not a leader, but CC was that emotional leader.
Oh, I'll tell you a big difference.
He wore his emotion on his sleeve, and you knew it. And you were scared of it,
or
inspired by it, or whatever the heck you were by it, and that matters.
I'll tell you one big difference between those two guys. Gerrit Cole, and I don't mean any disrespect to Gerrit Cole when I say that, because I'm about to describe him in a similar fashion to me. He's a dork. And CeCe is badass and cool.
Yeah, CeCe's that dude.
Yes. But I look at them in a comparison because they both signed these huge big money contracts.
Yeah.
They came here with huge expectations. And their resumes through the first 7 years of their Yankee career, which is where we're at with Gerrit Cole, which is unbelievable that we're seven seasons into his Yankee tenure. Cole's a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
The difference
is... Look at my career track record and look at my numbers.
I know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I did. You're fantastic.
Right. But CeCe's got a ring. And if you're having this argument with him, it's on his middle finger.
Oh, jeez. Does he do that? That's badass.
No, he doesn't, but he should.
That'd be a great idea.
Whatever. It's cute.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.